Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see each one of you here today as we gather to worship the King of Kings this morning. Special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today and also those joining us via live stream this morning. So it's great, it's wonderful to be gathered in the house of the Lord this morning. Throughout this past week, we've all probably experienced pressures upon us to please people or to please others. And probably most of us here this morning have also spent considerable time and energy in pleasing ourselves also. So, for these next few moments, I'd invite you to lay all that aside. Lay all that aside and focus upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as we join in singing praises to Almighty God. So would you join the worship team in singing praises this morning?
I want to welcome you all here this morning, and we will get some business out of the way here on this first song. I'd like to invite the ushers forward to take our morning offering, which is going for the Pastoral Support Fund. And also any children here may come forward with their coins for My Coins Count.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that we can be here together to worship you, to praise you. Thank you for all of our guests and members here today. We thank you that we can, again, corporately worship you and praise you. Take my hand, take our hand, Lord, and lead us. Father, we just thank you for your blessings as well. And we offer a portion back to you for the work of the church and the pastor team here. Be with those leading our worship today. May we feel your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this morning I'd like to welcome Keith Cotton from Servants, Inc. Last July, we participated in a community service project called Connect 21. And as we sat down to plan this year, we discovered that Servants, Inc. was doing exactly what we had done last summer. And they take care of all the logistics and everything. And so we decided it'd be wise if we would just team up with Servants, Inc. to do the same thing we did before without all the planning. And I just like raised my hand and jumped up and down and said, yeah, let's do that. So Keith Cotton is here this morning to share a little bit more of the details, what's all involved with Servants, Inc., and how you can sign up to be a volunteer. But before we do that, there's a video we'd like for you to watch, and then Keith is going to come and share more details about that.
Morning, everybody. My name is Keith Cotton. I'm the Director of Outreach for Servants, and I just want to say thank you to Pastor Larry and to everyone in this Eastern Lancaster area that has been so welcoming. This is actually the fourth church I've had the privilege of being able to speak with and share about Servants and who we are and what we do. So Servants actually began in the year 2000, and it was founded after our founder was on a mission trip to Guatemala, and he had a transformative experience, and he came back and he decided, I want to do something more. I want to serve God through my work. And so he established this organization called Servants, and it started with leading trips to Guatemala. We have some partner missionaries and local missionaries that we work with there and still work with to this day. But as he started gathering volunteers to do that work, other needs became known. There was Hurricane Katrina happened, and so some of the same volunteers who had been participating in the Guatemala trips mobilized to respond to that disaster. And then there was a disaster that was some flooding that was in the local area in 2007. And so those same volunteers again mobilized and started serving their neighbors. And it was through that process that there was this realization that beyond just the flooding that had happened, there was just a great need in the South Central Pennsylvania area for home repair for people in need, people who had homes, but for whatever reason, often they're not able to financially pay somebody else to do the work. A lot of them have grown older, can no longer do the work themselves, and so they have homes that get into disrepair, or they come into new needs, like they need a wheelchair ramp, or they need a bathroom modification because they can no longer get in and out of the bathtub, and they don't have the resources or the ability to do that work themselves. And so volunteers have mobilized and gone into these homes to help provide those repairs now since 2007. That work started in York County, but in recent years, we felt God calling us to expand because these needs are everywhere. And so in 2020, we came up with a plan to expand into five surrounding counties, and the first was Lancaster. And so as our executive team was feeling that call, in the midst of that, we actually had somebody reach out to us from CrossNet, who operates in this area, and they realized they had that need with a lot of the clients that they work with. And it wasn't something that they were able to provide. And so we started to partner with CrossNet. And through all those connections and just seeing God work, we got connected with this Elanco group of churches that had the desire and the call to do very similar work in this area. And so we've been in conversation and deciding what are we going to do so that this group of churches here can continue doing that work that they want to do. And we just want to be a resource for you guys. Like Pastor Larry mentioned, we find the people who are in need, we assess the jobs, we get the materials and the tools, and try to make it as easy as we can for volunteers to then show up and with any amount of experience or no experience to have, a lot of experience. We work with anybody. We think everyone's called to serve, and we really think that serving God is an act of worship. Prayer and singing is an act of worship, and we experience that here in churches on Sunday morning, but we can serve God and worship through serving others, and that's what we try to help people to do. And so we do have a service date coming up. We were able to coordinate with all the churches and say, all right, October 1st, we're going to make this happen. It's a Saturday. It's the first Saturday in October, and we're going to have a great day, but the first action step that needs to be taken is for people to sign up. And so there's some material in the foyer that has that information, or you can just go to servants.org. We try to make it as easy as we can for you to sign up to volunteer. So once you've completed a volunteer application, somebody will reach out to you and just confirm details, and you'll start to receive more details about the October service date as that gets closer. But that is not the only thing that Servants is doing. Perhaps you hear this and you think, I want, you know, this is something I really feel called to. We actually have weekly teams working in Lancaster. Every Thursday is a work day, a volunteer work day in Lancaster. So if you have availability and the desire to serve, we welcome you and invite you. And the first step that needs to be taken is just that, filling out that application for us. And this is just the start. You know, we're hoping to continue with Saturday work days through the year, and then with a goal of hopefully having an event next summer that looks very much like the Connect event last summer, which is a week-long opportunity for people to serve. And we can use anybody. We have, you know, if you hear construction and that frightens you, you think, I've never swung a hammer, or I did once and it really hurt, or, you know, whatever. We have a need for people to pray. We're seeking hospitality volunteers that can help feed the teams as they serve. There's lots of different ways that you can serve. And so if you feel that call or that tug, I just invite you to get more information and fill out that application. And we really are excited about what God's doing here. To see churches wanting to work together has just brought me a lot of encouragement. And everyone's been so welcoming as I've shared about this. And we really look forward to seeing how God works in the Elanco community through this partnership and through the efforts of these wonderful churches. So thank you again for having me today, Pastor Larry, and really look forward to serving with you guys in the October and beyond. Thanks.
So thank you, Keith. Keith is a busy man this morning. I think he has 3 presentations in different churches, so when you see him running out the back door, it's not because he's afraid of us, but he's leaving to do his next presentation. So like he said, October 1st is the date that has been identified. So October 1st, we're going to be planning a service, community service project with the different churches in the community. If you want to participate, you need to go to Servants, Inc. There's information out front here. And also, the easiest way is to go online and fill out the volunteer application. Your job skills and that kind of thing is what they're looking for. And then that needs to be done by September the 17th. And so if you begin looking at the calendar, you realize that September 17th is not very far away. So if you're interested, please take care of that, sign up. And you also need to have your background checks up to date. And if you need to do that, Julie Weber is the person to see about that. So, switching gears, in your bulletin there is an announcement about the Pray For Me campaign, and if you, in either foyer, there is a sign-up sheet for you to sign up to partner with a student throughout this coming school year to pray for them throughout the school year. So we're looking for individuals to sign up and to be paired up with a prayer partner, so please take advantage of that opportunity. And one more reminder before Dwayne Weaver comes. It's a reminder to return the ballots, the affirmation ballots for the various church roles is due today. So please return them. So Dwayne, would you come and share?
So I'm reading a book right now where the guy tells a story of he was in a service at a college, and the guy gets up and says, well, the Lord didn't give me anything, so you're dismissed. That's not this. This is, for your information, in your bulletin, right under Rick and Anita's 24th wedding anniversary on August 29th, is an announcement about Helen's retirement. We as a leadership team have met and discussed it. And we're not going to let her. So, no, just kidding. We discussed people's gifts. And so Helen has improved on the job description of the church secretary, and in the coming weeks or days, please be in prayer for the right person to accept that role. It's an important role of the church that many times goes unnoticed.
Okay, well, I'd invite you to stand as we continue worshiping this morning.
Was my truth. Oh.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all your blessings. We thank you most of all for what Jesus did for us on the cross by taking our place, and that he rose from the dead to give us eternal life. We just cannot praise you enough for that. And this morning, God, we just pray your touch on Brian as he brings your word to us. Just fill him with your spirit that he will speak with boldness what we need to hear this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Hopefully I have everything working correctly so I actually know what I'm doing, but we'll figure it out as we go along. So this morning we are going to talk about the body, soul, and spirit. I'll let you know right away, I don't have a lot of time up here because I could take pretty much all day talking about this. So if you have other questions, anything like that, come talk to me. I'm a big fan of coffee and breakfast and talking, so it all works out pretty well. So, and I have a mailbox. You can drop stuff in my mailbox, whatever, but I thought I'd let you know that. So to start with this morning, on the back of your bulletin, it does have an explanation of body, soul, and spirit. I wanted that to be there so you guys can take it home, you can look at it, have a better understanding, and just know what's going on. But as human beings, we are one person, but we have three different parts. I wanted to touch on this very quickly, is God is one being, but three persons. That is the Trinity. That is, hopefully, what's happening right now, but maybe not. I do have it on. That should be the first thing, I'm hoping, maybe. Do I know it? No. Sorry, this is supposed to be the very last part of what I'm talking about. So maybe I explained it wrong. I'm really good at not doing things the proper way. What? Oh. Whoops. So what do I have? Sorry. So anyway, I'll just figure this out as we go along. But that, am I doing it? Like, okay.
I just have the scripture. If you have
your I'm sorry. I apologize. That was my fault completely. Okay. I'm an idiot. That's all it comes down to. So while that's happening, what I was going to quickly explain is, God is a Trinity. There's three parts to him. That's three separate persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about that in just a little bit of a different way, because it's really hard to imagine three separate beings that are three separate persons that are one being. So I want you to think about if you personally would cut yourself, if you would harm your body, that is going to bring out a few emotions, which your emotions come from your soul. And if you have that connection with God, that will affect your spirit. You'll either turn to him and pray about it, or the Holy Spirit will urge you to turn to him. So if something happens to one part of you, it's going to affect all three parts of you. And the same is true with God. If something would happen to the Son, it's going to affect the Father and the Holy Spirit too. So if something happens to one part, it will affect all three parts. So just think about that. He is one being. Now, see if I can make this work, because I would like you to see this picture. Hopefully. Our three parts are the body, the soul, and the spirit. Our body is simply this outer layer. Our soul is inside of us, and the spirit is deep inside of us. Our body has the functions we need to be alive. It has our organs, our cells, our brain, and our five senses, that is sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. But without a soul, without our inner being, our body would be just that, a body, nothing else. If you look at Genesis 1, we're just going to look at verses 9 to 12. There's the Trinity right on. Now we're getting somewhere. Now I probably don't have this on. Okay. The body. Okay. I'll just leave that up. So Genesis 1, 9 to 12. What it says is, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear, and it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered waters, he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. So this is the picture that I have, something like this. God created the land and the sea, and then he created vegetation. Every kind of vegetation, it is a body, and only a body. They don't have internal organs or a brain. If you would cut a plant, it's not going to bleed. They get all their nutrients they need to grow from the roots in the soil. Yeah. The roots that give it food, the water it needs, and then it gets sunshine. They get all the nutrients they need to grow, drop seeds, and they reproduce. Soil has the right nutrients that plants need to live. God made our bodies out of that soil. Think about it. Soil needs to have the right minerals and nutrients, water, sunshine, and it needs to be dug up and moved around. So what do our bodies need? The right amount of vitamins, nutrients, healthy food, water, sunshine, and exercise. We need to be moved around a little bit. Genesis 2:19 says, okay, that's not on there. God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and birds of the sky. Life can grow out of soil. So if God creates things from the soil that life can grow out of, it will become a life or alive. Plants are a life, but they're not alive. Animals have organs, cells, a brain, and all five senses. They are alive, but they don't have thoughts, emotions, or will. They don't have a soul. They know how to survive. They have their natural instinct. Survival is what drives them. They don't have thoughts. They say, should I or shouldn't I? They don't make choices. They either do it or they don't. The only thing that would stop them is their natural instinct. If something scares them, they'll stop. If they get what they want, they'll keep going. It's as simple as that. What that means is a wild animal does what it needs to do to survive, and a tamed animal or a pet stops doing things when you get mad, and it does things when it gets rewarded, when you play with it or it gets food or something like that, anything that it enjoys. When you get upset, it gets scared, and then it will stop doing that. If it doesn't get scared, it will just keep doing it. What that means is animals can't teach themselves. They have their natural survival instinct, and they can learn from us. So plants are a body, a being. They are a life, but they aren't alive. Animals are a body that is alive, but they don't have a life. They don't make choices. They survive with their natural instincts. As humans, We are a body that is alive with a life. Genesis 2:7 says, God breathed into us the breath of life. Now we are more than just alive, we have a life. Again, animals are alive, but they don't have a life. Having a life means you have many choices to make, which means you need to be able to think, have emotions, and a will. This is our soul. God also gave us a spirit. We have a spirit because God himself is a spirit. The only way we can hear or even feel him is through our spirit. We can always talk to him, and he can hear us. But our spirit is like an antenna. It transmits God's voice so that we can hear and feel him. So I want to look at Genesis 2, 5 through 7. And it says, now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had sprung up, for the Lord God had sent rain on the earth, had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth, watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. So God created man from the dust of the ground. Imagine absolutely perfect soil. Quite honestly, you can't. We can't imagine perfect soil. God hadn't even sent rain at that point. There were these streams coming from the earth. I imagine it like almost like a sprinkler coming out of the ground or some type of a mist. But it was the perfect amount of water, minerals, nutrients, and sunshine. God hadn't even made any plants yet. It was land God had just created, and from that he formed man. Right here, this is the layers of soil. Man was created from that topsoil, that layer, surface layer. When these layers all work together, you get beautiful trees, flowers, grass, which is the organic matter on top. Think of these layers as our body. That surface or topsoil, that is our body. The subsoil is our soul. Underneath that is the parent rock. That is our spirit. And at the very bottom is the bedrock, and that is God. God is our solid foundation. Our spirit connects our soul, our inner being, our thoughts, emotions, and will to God. So, what would happen if we remove that parent rock? There's a big empty space right in there. So, if we remove our spirit, we're no longer connected to God. When Adam sinned, he was separated from God, and that is what we have had to live with since then. What that means is our spirit is dead. We became dirt. Dirt is dead. It doesn't have any of the minerals or nutrients or living organisms found in soil. Dirt is hard. Nothing good can grow in it. Without our spirit, we don't even have good seeds growing inside of us. The only influence in our soul, the only influence we get in our soul has to come from outside. The part of our body that affects our soul are our five senses. What we see, what we hear, what we smell, touch, and taste are the things that influence us. Our brain connects our body to our soul. If every influence we have is from the world, and Satan is the king of this world, that means our main influence is evil. Our soul is all of our thoughts, every emotion we have, and our will. Our will is whatever we are doing and what we want to be doing. That is our choices. Without God, our thoughts, emotions, and will come from evil influences. Because of our separation from God, we have our own will. We want to do what we want, how we want to do it, when we want to do it, and if you don't agree with it, well, that's too bad for you, because I'm my own God, and I will do what I want to do. But when we put our faith in Christ, and by the way, Christ is the Word of God, and the Word of God gives life. Thank you. So when we put our faith in Christ, the first thing that happens, or one of the first thing that happens, is our spirit is made perfect. And we are reconnected to God. Now God can influence us. Remember, always remember, God is in our lives. Whether we have faith or not, Matthew 5:45 says, God causes his son to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous. And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God hears all of our prayers, but we can't hear or feel him, be influenced by him, or receive his blessings until we put our faith in Christ. The best thing to put on soil, and if you're from Lancaster County, you should know this very well, the best thing to put on soil so it gets more nutrients, quite simply, is cow manure. Guess what? Believe it or not, that is the best thing for our lives, too. We have that beautiful thing called free will. That means we can choose to do whatever we want to do, and God can't make us do anything. God has to allow us to go through things we hate, and he hates watching us go through it. But since he can't make us do anything, he has to try to influence our choices. Plus, if we didn't go through these struggles, we would never ask for help or turn to him. When God allows some manure to fall on your life, that's all you're focused on. You stop worrying about all the stuff that's going on in the world and all the little things in your life, and you're focused on that big black blob right in the middle of your life. And that's the perfect time to turn to God and pray. Or turn to him and yell at him and ask him why he's letting all this happen. All that God wants is for you to acknowledge him. Your body needs healthy things to keep it alive, and so does your soul. When you put your faith in Christ, your spirit is made perfect, and God is transforming your thoughts, your emotions, and your will from the inside. But if you still have the same things influencing you from the outside, that evil from the world, not much will change. All of our words, our actions, come from our soul. There it is, whoops. Our soul, again, is that subsoil on the top. And if you see where these roots kind of reach down into, they go into the spirit, come from the soul, and come out of the body. And that organic matter on top, that is our words and actions. All of our words and actions come from our soul. So we need to allow God to transform us, and we need to put good spiritual food and water into our soul through our five senses, especially what we see and hear. Then we need to talk to God, just acknowledge him, thank him, praise him, talk about the weather. Whatever, just talk to him. You are not perfect, but Jesus is. And with faith in him, you can have that relationship with God right now. And who knows what amazing things just waiting for you in heaven. Dirt is dead, soil is alive. Through God's word and Jesus is the word of God, and the word of God does bring life.
Amen.
So stop being dead and start a new life living alive. Remember this, with faith in Christ, you are a temple. This is the temple. Your body is that building. Your soul is the inner sanctuary or the holy place. Yeah. Your body is the building. Your soul is the inner sanctuary or holy place. And the Holy Spirit, that is God's presence, is with your spirit in the Holy of Holies. The altar where they made all their sacrifices was on the outside of the temple. Every sacrifice we make to God is on the outside of our bodies. Our bodies already belong to Him. We're just giving them back to Him. We're just offering them to Him. The sacrifices we make are our lives, our time, things of that nature. We give our lives to Him. So the inner sanctuary in that holy place, the first thing they had when they walked into that inner sanctuary was a bowl to cleanse, for cleansing. We are cleansed when we ask for forgiveness. Every time you know you've sinned, take it to God, lay it at His feet, and ask Him to take it from you. Never stop asking. We are weak. Only He is strong enough to remove things from our lives. We clean our soul every time we pray, every time we pray to God, read His word, praise Him, thank Him, think about Him. In John 13:10, Jesus says, "Those who have had a bath only need to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean." Your soul can always use a little refreshing. The main part of the Jewish temple was that Holy of Holies. There was a curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. Behind that curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. On top of the Ark, you see there's the cherubim. Between their wings, yeah, I got ahead of myself. Hold on. The Ark of the Covenant was where the Ten Commandments were held. And this is where God would appear, right in between those wings. Once a year, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies and ask for atonement or forgiveness for the entire Israelite nation. Just to enter the Holy of Holies, he had a long list of things he had to go through. Leviticus 16:3-34. I'm not about to start to read through all these things, but this is what one man once a year had to go through to be in the presence of God, to ask for atonement for the entire Israelite nation. Yeah. And I'll just keep going through it. The only people that were allowed into the temple were the priests. They would actually tie a rope to the high priest. They would put a rope around his ankle when he entered the Holy of Holies, because if he died while he was in there, they weren't about to go in there. They were not allowed. They would put bells on him, and if those bells stopped moving, they knew he was dead. When Jesus died on the cross, that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, that curtain ripped in half. We can enter into the presence of God at any time, anywhere, in any condition. I strongly recommend you read Leviticus 16. It's not the easiest read. There's a lot to it, but I recommend it so we can understand what we have. One time, once a year, one man could enter into God's presence. Begin to appreciate the relationship with God we have been given through Christ. You are a temple. In this life, the building, your body, it will never be perfect, but you can keep it healthy. The inner sanctuary, your soul, is being renewed. Get rid of the old stuff in your life while God gets rid of the old stuff inside of you. The Holy of Holies, your spirit, is perfect. Plus, you have the Holy Spirit to help you. Now work on the relationship with God. The only thing that holds you back from a closer relationship with God is you. If God is on your mind all the time, then he is your main focus. If not, then something else is your main focus. It's not easy to make God your main focus. But just like anything else, the more you work on it, the easier it becomes. Practice. Start by realizing through Christ you have a perfect relationship with God because he made your spirit perfect. You have the Trinity, that's all three parts of God, and with you, together, you're working on a better life for you. That is transforming your soul. We live in a crazy world, but God loves us. He has a plan for us, and we just need to allow him to walk us through this life and then experience the amazing eternal life on the other side. So, the body is our outer shell that keeps us alive. The soul is the inner being that gives you the ability to make choices, act on those choices, and lead a life. The spirit connects you to God so he can guide you through this life. Life will always be a challenge, but without Jesus Christ, you're already dead. Turn to God, live alive, look forward to heaven, and bring as many people as you can along for the ride. Help them get to know Christ. Because Jesus, he is the Word of God, and the Word of God brings you life. Amen. Wonderful. Let us pray. So, Father, thank you very much for this morning. Help each one of us come closer to you, understand what you want us to be doing. Guide us through this life. Help us get closer to you. Show us brand new things. We can all use a change. Life gets stale at times. Things just don't go the way we want them to. Help us understand that when things aren't going how we want them to, that's because you have something better waiting for us. It's easy to get frustrated, but you have something better. Life will always be hard, but through you, it can be so much better. Father, help us, show us, guide us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm getting confused. There's so much going on this morning, so whoever's coming next.
Well, thank you, Brian, for sharing this morning. This morning, Mel Weaver has requested to be anointed with oil, so we're going to honor his request this morning. James 5, 13 to 15 says, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing praises. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." So we need to understand that when the scriptures say, and the prayer offered in faith, it does not refer to the faith of the person asking for anointing, but the faith of the people praying. We also need to understand that only God heals. Faith doesn't. And the oil that we use does not have any magic powers. It is God who does the healing. And all of our prayers are subject to God's will. Our prayers are important. It's an important part of the process for God to release healing. I believe that many times God waits for our prayers of faith before intervening to heal a person. So this morning, Mel Weaver is asking to be anointed with oil for healing for a recent diagnosis of an aneurysm that's near his heart and also a heart valve problem. And the doctor says that he will require open heart surgery. So we're asking for God to intervene and bring healing to Mel. So I would like Mel to come, and he has the statement he would like to share before we proceed with the anointing.
It is an honor to have my family and church family here to support me. The words, "Be still and know that I am God," taken from Psalm 46, may not be written in the same context as this morning's occasion. However, the reality of God's sovereignty in determining my health and number of days have hit me squarely in the face upon receiving my recent diagnosis. We may not know the exact outcome of the anointing, but I have confidence that it will make a difference in one way, shape, or form as we acknowledge the great physician and implore his help. Naturally, I would desire healing before having to do much more medically. Regardless of what God is choosing, may His Spirit continue to work in my heart and give me the grace to respond favorably. I marvel at the patience He's had with me. May God receive the glory. He is good.
Amen. Okay. You can stay here, Mel. Oh, yeah. So what? Could you get rid of this for us, Brian? So I'm going to slide this up here. There you go. So I want to read a couple of verses from Psalms that we chose for this occasion. Psalm 90. 91 verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So this morning, Mel is confessing that he is trusting God for healing. And then Psalm 130 says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. So I'm going to ask Mel a few questions, and he's going to respond to these questions. Mel, is it your heart's desire to completely place your life in God's hands?
Yes.
Have you asked for Christ's forgiving, healing presence in all your weaknesses and your sins?
Yes.
Have you accepted the witness of God's Spirit with your spirit that you are indeed a child of God?
Yes.
So this time I'd just like to invite the rest of the pastoral team to come forward, and also anyone else who would desire to come forward to gather around Mel to lay our hands on him as we do the anointing. I'm going to anoint Mel with oil, and then we're going to enter into a time of prayer. And you can feel free to pray. You don't feel pressure to pray, but if you want to, you're welcome to pray. So Mel, upon your request, I anoint you with oil for the healing of your body, soul, and spirit in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Almighty God, we come before you today on Mel's behalf, recognizing that you are the great I Am. You're also the great physician. And as we gather here this morning, Mel is asking, crying out to you for mercy, for grace, as he's experienced a recent diagnosis of an aneurysm and a heart valve issue. So, Almighty God, we ask in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, we ask for your healing touch to come and heal the aneurysm. In the name of Jesus Christ. And also pray that as the issue with his heart valve, that that would also be touched by you as well. We honor you today, Almighty God. We thank you that you're in control. And I pray for Mel that he be able to release all the fears, all the anxieties, all the worries that come with this diagnosis. He'd be able to release that to you. You would take it. And you would replace that with a spirit of joy, a spirit of peace, a spirit of calmness as he seeks, strives, searches, seeking after you, Almighty God. Thank you for his testimony that he shared with me the other day of how he's had incredible moments of deep communion with you as he's made this decision to be anointed with oil. So I just pray again in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would release your healing touch for physical healing, for the aneurysm, and for the heart valve that isn't functioning properly. That you would touch that and bring healing in Jesus' name. So we do indeed thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here this morning. We also ask that as we go forward from here, we would put our faith, hope, and trust in you and you alone. So we ask for your special touch, your special blessing upon Mel today. And I pray this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So I'd invite the worship team to come forward. Also, at this time, I just want to open it up. I realize life is very difficult. Life is very hard. Maybe you're here this morning. You're struggling with something. Maybe you're here this morning and desire healing. I'd invite you to come forward for anointing if that's what you desire today. So as the worship team is singing this next song, the invitation is open for you to come to be anointed with oil if you feel led by God to do so today.
Lord, I come to you.
Is going to change from an invitation to come and be anointed. The invitation is going to change to someone who's here maybe this morning who's experiencing life is hard. Maybe you want to give Jesus a chance. Maybe you want to respond to an invitation to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior today. Not that that's going to change everything automatically, but he's going to walk with you. He's promised he will never leave us or forsake us, but he'll walk with us every step of the way. Maybe you're here feeling burdened and weary. Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. So we're going to sing one more verse of this song, and the invitation is for you to raise your hand. I'm going to make it easy for you. Just raise your hand. When you're seated, raise your hand, and I will acknowledge you that you want to make that decision today. So would you lead us in a verse?
Would I come to you?
Front here, if anyone needs prayer for anything or you want to talk to me or anyone else, feel free to come forward for prayer. So we're going to end this morning with a song that we sing every Tuesday evening at Flowing Waters.
Stand up.
Stand up. Take it away.
If you want to dance, you have my go ahead.
Abundant life, and that's in Jesus Christ. So as you go, receive this parting blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.